Okay, Priya, maybe Radio Krishna, somewhere, you know, okay, my book, at least that I dream about writing one day, The Zen of Bhakti, or something like that, The Tao of Bhakti. I could write something like this, that, you know, some think that religion, as they call it, you know, spirituality, well, they think that spirituality is religion, and they think that, well, I'd rather call it art of life, understanding life and how it should be lived. And, you know, you have the word dharma there in India, that's what it really means, at least in my understanding. Sanatana Dharma, art of life, how life works, how this nature works, how we work and how to live in order to work, you know, to harmonize with ourselves and the rest of each other and the rest of the world. So that is there, right? And some people think that that it's all about the spiritual, this and that. And in some traditions also, you know, like, I don't think in Buddhism, certain in India too, you're supposed to, you know, they think of this as meaning that you just shun the world, you know, you just, whoops, where did he go? And sometimes you see such people, and I have friends who are like that. They can't take care of themselves because of that. Neither, you know, society financially and work-wise and maintenance-wise, and they don't know how to cook, they don't know anything, and some, even when they move around here, they don't relate properly to these forms of matter, bounce in it and stumble, and because they're not really present, you know, they are somewhere else in the spiritual world or something like that. They are holy, transcendental people. But, you know, and that's what I mean with this sin of bhakti, that my understanding of bhakti, which, you know, is not coming from me, is what the way I heard it, that every step on this bhakti marga, this bhakti path, is the goal, because every step consists of bhakti yoga, you know, Krishna consciousness, being there with God in that relationship, and with love and devotion, and yeah, that consciousness of God at every moment. But that is also the goal, and it makes such nice sense, because, you know, when you are on a path, I want to, you know, I'm a seeker, you say, well, that's what we said in the 70s. You are a seeker, yes, I'm, me too. So I liked seeker people, because they were like me. But, you know, then I thought, actually now I have found it. And then they said, no, you cannot find, you have to seek. But, you know, what is it you're seeking for? You're seeking for something you can never find? So at one point you must also be able to find it, right? And I found it. And I say that still today. Now, of course, you can always seek more Krishna consciousness, more, you know, go forward on that path. But that's the path of life, you know, it just improves and gets better and better. Otherwise, it will be boring. But you're still okay, because at every step you're doing bhakti yoga. So, what I learned then from my guru was rather that whatever you do, you are here now. I'm here in my kitchen and I'm cooking, and, you know, if I mess up, then I'll burn myself. And I learned this in the temple I lived, to cook for Krishna. And I saw these other cooks there who were trained in this old tradition from India, temple cooks, They were experts. They were quick. They were exact. They didn't make any mistakes. They didn't cut their fingers, but they cut very fast. And, you know, like professional cooks. And some of them did that because they thought that the more professional and expert you are, the more satisfied God will be with you. But I also were trained like that, and I started appreciating it, because that in itself can be a form of yoga, a form of meditation, that yes, here I am, but, and this is God's creation, I mean, this is God's temple in those days, this is, you know, food coming from God, and, you know, and I will just, I'm a father, I'm cooking for my children, or whatever, I'm doing this as a service to God and to all of those who are dependent on me or my friends, you know, that kind of nice attitude. That's what bhakti is. Not just God, but then not caring about all of God's children, but all, you know, obviously. So that's what we learned, including, you know, yourself. You have to take care of yourself, and you're also one of God's children, right? So we maintain ourselves, give ourselves what we need. Not more, it's not needed. And if I have more than I need, I give to others, help others. So that's I would say, harmonious life. Now, you can do then that at this every moment of moving around in this world and relating to things with your hands and, you know, doing your actions and your job nicely and expertly, and trying to really see that, yeah, this is my service to God, you know. This is my service to God's children and to everyone. This is my service to myself. This is my dharma. When I do that nicely, with full attention, full awareness, full presence in the now, as many are talking about today, but realizing that what is the now, what is this presence that I'm present in, is the presence of God. Not just as some mystical, somewhere in far in there, metaphysical principle, but present, because everything is God manifesting out there through any different expansions and energies and into all this wonderful play and adventure we see around us, which is the world. And therefore we learn there in the bhakti scriptures that this is all God's pastime, lila, that we are part of, and that's life, that's the fun of it. That's the meaning and purpose of it. So that means that wherever you happen to be now, most of us who hear this are probably on planet Earth, in a body made of anamaya food from planet Earth. So that's where we are. So then just act and be that way with what's here, what is part of your life here. I'm standing here in a little apartment, just good enough for me, and cooking my food and taking care of my children and trying to do something good for the world. And I need to clean the floors regularly and do the laundering, hang it up. There is a load downstairs which I have to hang up. I've written a note for myself here. You know, not forget about that. And I have a bunch of rotten clothes down there in the bucket. So, you know, taking care. And that's what we also learned, that because if you don't, especially if you're doing service to Krishna, service to God in a temple or something, and there will be a lot of waste. You know, sometimes we wasted clothes and we didn't maintain buildings, properties, cars. Someone crashed a car, didn't have an insurance on it, so it was just, you know, huge waste. That kind of stupidity, that is the other. That's not Krishna consciousness. That means that you are just, whoops, somewhere in, what shall we call it, la-la land. It's, or some kind of speculated, imagined, and I would say, you know, the Brahman, impersonal, formless, not material, but not anything really, except spiritual, away from this, you know, useless matter, and the people, and the money, and the society, and the job, and the families, and give it all up. I mean, we were, some were like that. I wasn't really. So I guess there were different schools, and I would say that that school was part hippie influence and part Indian, you know, Mayavad kind of banal Advaitaism. Because I don't think real Advaita followers are like that. So, you know, yeah, that's what I mean, that this philosophy that we learn in these books, it's not just meant for learning and sitting and talking about as a philosophy, but this is really the art of life we're getting here. And I'm really happy, grateful for having gotten that gift, and I want to share it with as many others as I can while I'm still around.